Well, morning, folks. It's good to see you this morning. And if you're listening in online, those of us here at Church in the Marketplace, we want to say good day to you. And we want you to know that we are praying that God will bless you as you listen in with us. As we lead up to Easter, we're talking about mercy, the miracle of God's mercy. And today we're talking about a truth that promises to bring freedom to many corners of our lives and to every one of our relationships. And today's, it's the truth that mercy forgives. God's mercy brings forgiveness into every one of our lives. It's one of the most amazing and awesome truths that we can grab hold of. Jesus talks about two kinds of mercy. We come across it in Matthew chapter 6 in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us to pray. It says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." You see the two sides there. One side, when we say, "God, forgive me." The other side, when we say, "I forgive you." So as we prepare to look at both of them, remember the definition that we've been working with. Mercy is undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. I need that from God, and others need that from me sometimes. Mercy forgives. So as we prepare to think about that, let's pray. Lord, it's one of those things that we can scarcely wrap our minds around, that you forgive us for our sins. And then, Lord, you go that step further and say, "Well, I want you to forgive others because I have, and in the same way as I have forgiven you." Lord, we admit we don't find that easy. So we pray that you would help us as we think about that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mercy means that God forgives us. That's the best good news ever, really. God is willing to give us a completely fresh start. God is willing to give us a completely clean slate. He's willing to remove our debt. He's willing to set us free. That's better than an inheritance, because it's about you. It's not just about money. That's better than a cure, because it's about eternity, not just about now. That's how good this good news is. This is the goodest good news that's ever been good. It's incredibly good. It's good because forgiveness is more than just a theological fact. It's a personal gift. It's a gift of God to you. So to get into this personal side of this question, let me ask you a question. Do you feel forgiven? I mean, I know forgiveness is a fact, but I'm asking you right now, do you feel forgiven? Because a lot of people don't. And that's a problem if we feel guilty, but we don't feel forgiven. You hear people say it all the time, "I feel so guilty." But have you ever heard anybody say, "I just feel so forgiven today"? We don't say that, but we should. Because that's what God has done for us by his forgiveness in Jesus. Forgiveness isn't just an emotion. It's this genuine experience of God's forgiveness in our lives that creates an emotion where it sinks deeply into our hearts. When we feel guilty, it usually draws us away from God, because who wants to be close to somebody who's making us feel guilty? But when we feel forgiven, it draws us closer to God, because we know his love and we know his grace and we know his forgiveness. So here are some facts, some truths to help you and me to feel forgiven. Truth number one is, God wants to forgive. God wasn't forced into it. He chose to do it because of his love. He chose to forgive you and me. Nehemiah 9 says, "You are a God of forgiveness, always ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, full of love and mercy." Folks, God's not reluctant to forgive us. He loves forgiving us because he's full of love and mercy. That's God's character. Micah 7 says, "You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." Do you know that, showing mercy, showing us forgiveness, is one of the things that God delights in? It's one of God's favorite things to do. It's one of the things that makes God's day. He wants to forgive us. I reckon if God had an iPhone and he's scrolling through saying, "Look at all these pictures of what's happened," God would be looking at pictures of our forgiveness because God's delighted by that. Look at that. I forgave Peter. That was a great day. He absolutely delights in forgiving us. When we start to get a hold of that, we start to feel what it means to be forgiven. Truth number two is that God freely forgives. There's not some way I can earn forgiveness because it can't be earned. It's a gift. Romans 3:23, you probably know this verse, says all of us have sinned. Well, we know that bit of it anyway. Yet, not everybody knows the next part. Now God declares us not guilty of offending him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who freely takes away our sins. Folks, we can never earn or deserve God's forgiveness. It's a gift of grace. But just because it's free doesn't mean it costs nothing. It costs God everything. Jesus died on the cross in order to offer us the gift of forgiveness. He paid the price that we couldn't pay so that we wouldn't have to pay. That's what the cross of Christ is all about. When we freely trust God, God freely forgives us. And because we're human, forgiveness is one of our greatest needs. And God is willing to absolutely wipe the slate clean in our lives, to totally forgive everything. What would keep anyone from receiving that gift? Well, there's a few reasons. There are two major ones. One is we simply don't believe it could possibly be true. How could something that good be true? Even though billions of people's lives have been changed by it, we don't believe it. But the fact of Jesus dying on the cross says it's true. God does love us. There is forgiveness for you and for me. The second reason people have a hard time accepting the truth is we think we don't deserve it. We look around and we think, all these nice people here in church, if they just knew what I've done, they'd know I don't deserve that kind of forgiveness because of what I've done or what I've said. I absolutely don't deserve it. So let me just say, if you're feeling that way, the people sitting near you, those nice church people, they're not always as nice as you think they are. The truth of the matter is we all have our stories. In fact, let's just take the next 5 minutes to tell how not nice we are to the people next to us. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it's true, we all struggle. I'm not minimizing the struggle that you've had. It may be greater than anyone in here, but that doesn't matter because God's forgiveness is greater than any sin. It's greater than any past. The grace of forgiveness is for every one of us. It's for you. No one deserves to be forgiven. It can't be deserved. It's a gift that God wants to give. Now, you may not be sure if you're forgiven, but you can be sure right now because it's a gift that's given freely. Right now, you can just accept the gift. You can just say, "Jesus, I accept the gift of your forgiveness right now. Thank you for loving me enough to give your life for me so I could give and so you could give this unbelievable gift for me. Jesus, in your name, I trust you right now for your forgiveness." Simple as that. It's a prayer that changes everything. Then he freely gives this gift. Then he sets us free. It's a free gift that sets us free. Colossians 1 says, "In him we enjoy our freedom, the forgiveness of sin." So as we talk about feeling our forgiveness, my question is, are you also enjoying your forgiveness? Because it's part of what it means to be forgiven. So take a minute right now and enjoy it. You can stop having to pay the price for the wrong things you've done. Enjoy your forgiveness. You can stop letting shame and guilt push you into their mold and enjoy the forgiveness that God has given into your life. You can stop feeling judged by God and by others right now. You can stop letting that shame, that memory from your past haunt you about what you did or about what you said, and enjoy your forgiveness. Here's what God does. Shame, guilt, and fear are replaced by peace, grace, and love. That's what he does. That's the freedom that he gives us. So enjoy that freedom. That's part of the feeling of enjoying the forgiveness that God has given. So we recognize that God wants to forgive us. We recognize that God freely forgives us. The third thing is to recognize that God immediately forgives us. It's not like God says, Peter, that particular sin, that one was pretty bad. I'd like you to suffer a little while first and then I'll forgive you. Come back to me next Wednesday and then we'll talk about it and then I'll forgive you. No. He immediately forgives us. There's no sin in which he says, wait a little while on that particular one. It was so bad and then I'll forgive you. The reason it's immediate is because Jesus has already died on the cross, and because Jesus died on the cross, immediately we're forgiven no matter what. He immediately forgives me. Isaiah 55 says, God is merciful and quick to forgive. God quickly forgives us. So as someone who's been forgiven, as a follower of Jesus Christ, should you ever feel guilty? And the answer is yes, maybe, for about a second and a half, as long as it takes for you to recognize that God has forgiven you. Guilt in our lives is a bit like, you know, the light on the car dashboard, warning something's wrong in the car. When the warning light comes on, we don't sit there and stare at the warning light. No, we get out and we do something about what's wrong. And when the warning light of guilt comes on in our lives, we don't sit there and stare at the guilt. No, we turn our eyes to the cross of Jesus. Every time we sense the feeling of guilt, we turn our eyes to Jesus. Because that's where the forgiveness is. That's where the grace is. That's where God's love is in everyone's lives. The truth is, there's this myth out there that somehow feeling guilty makes us a better person. It doesn't make us a better person. It makes us a miserable person. Grace makes us a better person. So we turn our eyes to the cross and God immediately forgives us. God completely forgives me, completely, absolutely, totally forgives you. When God forgives, there's no part of the sin that's not forgiven. There's no part of you that's not forgiven. He completely forgives me. Colossians 2 says, God forgave all our record. God forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross of Christ. That. I mean, he cancelled the record, completely annulled it as if it never happened. It's cancelled. If you have a bill that's been paid, how long do you remember it? Don't remember it at all, really. It's cancelled. God has cancelled the record of our sin. He destroyed it. It's not like God took the file of our sins and put it in a locked file drawer somewhere for future use in case we get out of line and he's going to bring it back up again. He destroyed it. He took the file and he shredded it, and then he incinerated the shredding, and then he atomized the incineration. For all you CSI people, whatever your mind needs to go through to realize there's no evidence left, go to that place. Because that's what God's done. God has absolutely, totally erased the record of our sin. It's amazing good news. It's amazing forgiveness. Micah says, you will have mercy on us again. You will conquer our sins. You will throw away all our sins into the deepest part of the sea. So let me ask you, if God has forgotten your sins, if God has put them in the past, shouldn't you? If God has completely annulled them, shouldn't we recognize that grace of forgiveness? See, the problem is, until we understand complete forgiveness, every time something bad happens in my life as a follower of Christ, I think God's out to get me. God's punishing me. Folks, God is not out to get us. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So let's stop feeling that God's punishing us and recognize that God has forgiven us. We're not talking about justice here. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about mercy, and God has decided. He could have exercised justice on every one of us, but instead he decided to choose forgiveness. He chose to show you mercy because he loves you. He chose love over justice. He chose mercy over justice. James 2 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy wins. Now, it might be a good idea if we just stop right there. God's forgiveness of me, that's wonderful good news. We feel pretty good about that right now. We can just go home a little bit early. That would be a great idea. But you see, there's another part to this truth. And if we don't talk about it, we'll be missing out on a lot of freedom in our lives, even though it's harder to look at and even though it's harder to deal with because we've all been hurt in our lives. But mercy means not only that I recognize that God has forgiven me, mercy means that we forgive others. And God helps us in our struggle to forgive. Now I'm going to assume, because it's true for me, that all of us struggle in some way to forgive. And when we struggle to forgive, it's for two main reasons. One reason we struggle is we haven't been forgiven. If I haven't been forgiven, I don't have anything to give you. So if I haven't been forgiven by God, I can't give you forgiveness, not in the way that God intends it, at least. But another aspect to it is that I don't feel forgiven. And if I don't feel forgiven, I don't feel like forgiving you. That's why we talked about God forgiving us first. That's why we talked about feeling and sensing God's forgiveness in our own lives first. Because when I sense that, then I'm able to share it with other people. So one reason is that I'm not forgiven or I don't feel forgiven. But I don't think that's the greatest reason we have a problem. I think the greatest reason people struggle with forgiveness is we misunderstand what forgiveness really is. See, there's this whole Christian urban myth out there about forgiveness that has nothing to do with what the Bible teaches about forgiveness. So to bring that out, I've got a quick quiz for you. It's really simple. True or false? 5 questions. What do you think the Bible says about these 5 questions? True or false? You don't have to answer out loud. A person should not be forgiven until he or she asks for it. What do you reckon? You haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offence. Forgiving includes minimising the offence and the pain caused. Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. When I see someone hurt, it's my duty to forgive the offender. Or false? Well, the truth is, each one of those is false. The last one, for instance, if I see somebody else hurt, it's not my duty to forgive them. It's the person who was offended who is to forgive them. We forgive the person who's hurt us, and they forgive the person who's hurt them. Otherwise, it's like we're interjecting ourselves into a relationship where we just don't belong. It's in their relationship to figure out that issue of forgiveness. It's not our duty to do that. But we forgive when somebody's offended us. Forgiveness isn't conditional. It's not conditional on something that somebody else earns or something somebody else says. Other people don't have to earn our forgiveness before we give it. They don't even have to ask for it. If they have to ask for it, they're not going to ask just so they can make us miserable because we haven't forgiven them. I can tell you there are people out there like that. Ephesians 4:32 says, forgive one another quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. So people don't have to earn our forgiveness anymore. Then we could earn God's forgiveness. When it comes to forgiving other people, forgiveness is absolutely unconditional. There's no sin. There's nothing that we do not forgive. That's a challenging thought. Folks, it's very easy to feel guilty about our struggles with forgiveness, but we all struggle no matter where we are. And the problem with feeling guilty and thinking, oh, I'll forgive them, I have to do this, our forgiveness is going to only last as long as the guilt lasts. Guilt's not a great motivator for forgiveness. They just don't go very well together. So instead of feeling guilty, let me invite you to see this. See the fact that God has the power to give the strength to forgive no matter what has happened in our lives. God has the power to give you the strength to forgive no matter what the circumstance in your life. Forgiveness is unconditional towards others because of God's power of forgiveness towards us. Forgiveness isn't conditional. Second thing, forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness does not mean we forget what happened. I know we've got that phrase, forgive and forget. It's not in the Bible. Forgive and forget? How do we forget? We can't forget anything. How do we forget that pain that happened to us? It's not just going to happen. You know that's not going to happen. So we think, I can't forgive because I can't forget. Folks, forgiveness is not forgetting. There's this fascinating part of Paul's story. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, look, Alexander the metal worker did me a great harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Here's the Apostle Paul. We just a minute ago read him saying, forgive each other thoroughly and completely from the heart. And now he's saying, Alexander, that guy, he did me a great harm, and I hope God repays him for what he did. Now a lot of you are thinking, I like that Paul. This is a Paul I really like. I can relate to that one. Folks, I believe Paul had forgiven Alexander, but because he forgave him doesn't mean he forgot the hurt, or could even bring it up to somebody else who Alexander might hurt. Forgiveness and forgetting are two entirely different things. Paul, notice here, doesn't say, I'm going to get even with him, but he says, the Lord will repay him. That's how I know he's probably forgiven him. He's not holding it in his own hands anymore. He's saying, I've handed it over to God. It's in God's hands now. God's going to repay him for what he's done. And it feels a bit like Paul's hoping that God's going to even up the score, but just like you and I feel sometimes. But the truth of the matter is, he's put it into God's hands. He's taken it out of his hands, put it in God's hands. As long as we hold the bitterness in our heart and in our hands, as long as we hold the revenge in our hands, it's going to eat us up from the inside out. We turn it over to God. Paul had done that, but he didn't forget it. The truth of the matter is, we need to forgive, we need to let go, put it in God's hands, and then let God heal the memories like only he can. Don't worry about forgetting, but choose forgiving. There's another truth in this verse we just looked at about forgiveness and what it's really like. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Also, forgiveness is not necessarily trusting the person again. The last half of that verse we just looked at, 2 Timothy 4, Paul talks about Alexander and he says to Timothy, be on your guard against him. He doesn't say, I've forgiven him, give him another chance. He says, no, this guy who hurt me, who hurt the ministry, you need to be on your guard against him. Paul's forgiven him, but he's not trusting him yet. Trust has to be earned. When we've forgiven somebody, part of forgiveness is giving the opportunity to earn that trust back. But it has to be earned. They may never earn the trust back. This thing of trusting people, that takes time. This has to be earned. There are cases where we forgive someone and we should absolutely not trust them to be back in our lives because of the way they've hurt us and the way they've hurt others. Forgiveness is immediate, but trust has to be earned over time. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. If it's not trusting, then what is it? What is forgiveness? Forgiveness ultimately is releasing it to God. It's releasing it to God like Paul did. When someone has hurt us, how do we start to heal? Revenge doesn't work. Repayment doesn't work. Resentment doesn't work. That just brings it more and more back into our lives. Unforgiveness creates an undertow of emotion in our lives that will take us places we don't want to go. If you've ever been caught in a rip in the ocean, you know all of a sudden, because of the power of that current, you're someplace you don't want to be. You didn't take care of yourself there. The current took you there. Unforgiveness is like that in our lives. It will take us to places we don't want to be. We'll find ourselves saying things we never wanted to say, doing things we never wanted to do, being a person we didn't want to be. That's the danger of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness can destroy families and destroy marriages and destroy careers and destroy a person's spirit. So we release it to God and we trust it into His hands. When we hold on to a hurt, it becomes hate. When we have bitterness in our lives and we don't release that bitterness, we actually start to resemble the bitterness. We start to become like the person we won't forgive. And you can see it happen again and again and again. So we release it to God. Instead of saying, I'm going to take revenge, we say, God, it's in your hands. Instead of saying, I'm going to be the judge, we say, God, it's in your hands. I let it go to you. When we forgive like that, it sets us free. There are two words in the Greek language the New Testament was written in for forgive. One of them means to offer the gift of grace. And the other means to release or to set free. We're doing both when we forgive. We're offering a gift of grace. We're releasing and setting free. We're giving it to God. And when we do that, when we release it, when we're set free, it actually sets others free as well. Forgiveness sets families free. Forgiveness sets companies free. Forgiveness sets countries free. There's tremendous power in forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 says, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That verse is what we've just done. We've remembered together that the Lord forgave you, forgave us, and we've talked together about forgiving others. I can't forgive others without knowing that God has forgiven me. And once I know that God has forgiven me, I can't help but begin to forgive others. They're linked together. It's a really tough thing, but let's pray together. Lord, help us. Help us to know we're forgiven and help us to forgive others, even those who've deeply hurt us, by releasing them, by forgiving them first and placing them in your hands. Honestly, God, when it comes to putting our faith into practice, we're not very smart. Yet we're not as dumb as we pretend sometimes. We're not particularly good, but we're not as hopeless as we sometimes fear. We're not remarkably loving, but not as insensitive as our words and deeds might suggest. We have bad days on which we look back with disappointment and considerable frustration. We have better days when we can gratefully look back at the light and love we've shared. We are what we are, yet also we are what your mercy, your saving grace is making of us. Lord, continue to make of us people who receive your forgiveness and who give our forgiveness. So thank you for your forgiveness, which expunges our shame. Thank you for your word of love that rebuilds our confidence. Thank you for your belief in us, which enhances our gifts for use in your service. And thank you for your joy, which replaces our sense of duty and guilt with a rush of delight. Please, saving God, continue your healing work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.